Well, a big thank you to Catherine and everyone else who has led us through so far, and it's really interesting to see that different spin on a well-known Bible story, the story of Zacchaeus, and we're going to continue thinking about that story now, so please keep your Bibles open at Luke chapter 19. Now, do you think that someone who steals from you should go to heaven? And not only steals from you, as if that's bad enough, but that person turns out to be a complete traitor, who's betrayed everything about your country, your society that you hold dear. Should that person get to go to heaven? Well, the way that you answer that question determines what sort of person you are, what sort of character you are from this story that we've got in front of us from Luke chapter 19. Because if you answer no, there's no way that this person who has stolen from me should go to heaven, then you're really in that crowd that's left grumbling outside about what Jesus has done. But if you say yes, this man should go to heaven, then you are in Jesus' company of disciples. Because we can say yes, this man should go to heaven, because we understand something that's very important that a lot of people don't understand. It's not all about where you start out, but it's all about the end of the story, where you end up. Because that's what determines whether or not someone should go to heaven. Not about how bad someone has been, but whether or not they turn and they trust in Jesus. And Zacchaeus, he's one of those people who makes that change, who's transformed in that way. Now, for us to understand what a remarkable transformation this is, we need to start at the beginning of the story. But what really matters is the end of the story. So just how bad was Zacchaeus? Well, as we know, during the time that Jesus was ministering on earth, the nation of Israel was not able to govern itself. It had been taken over from by someone. Can any of the younger ones remember who it's been taken over by? Who was in charge? Can you remember? Neither of my two remember. No, they're hiding. It was the Romans, wasn't it? It was the Romans. They were in charge, and they'd pretty much conquered everywhere around the Mediterranean basin, and they had a vast, vast empire. And being a part of the Roman Empire brought all sorts of good things. Peace, security, goods, roads, lots of trade with other places, as well as technology, sanitation, education, all sorts of good things were available because of the Romans. But being controlled by the Romans also had its bad points. It means that any decisions regarding how the country was governed and run, they were made a long, long way away in Rome. And Rome itself, they could be very nasty to people who disagreed with them. That's how they maintained the peace. Everybody was scared of them. It was a peace that came through fear. And of course, everything had to be paid for by taxes. Lots of them. It was far worse than being part of the European Union. And there was no Brexit option for these people whatsoever. They were stuck with us. Now, if that's not bad enough, the Romans had a wonderful way of collecting taxes, because it was very different to how we collect taxes today. Does anyone here like paying their taxes? Hands up if you like paying your taxes. Does anyone here find the potholes in the rolls frustrating? Put your hands up. Right, you lot had better pay some taxes then, because we need some people paying taxes to fill the roads in. Because in our country, in our society, our taxes, they're going back into the system. They're not making someone rich. But the taxes that we pay, they're fed back in one way or another to the NHS or to sorting out the roads. Our taxes are used for the good of society. The Roman system was quite different. They ran taxes a bit like a franchise. Now, do people know what a franchise is? Yeah, it's where, so if, say, you want to run a McDonald's, you can go to McDonald's and you pay them a certain amount of money, and that gives you the right to set up a McDonald's and sell their material. That's a franchise. You get franchises all over the place. The Romans did the same with taxes. you bought a tax franchise. So if you were really, really rich, you could go to the Romans, buy this tax franchise, and then that would give you the right to collect taxes in that area, and they didn't care what you took from the people. So for example, if it costs, say, £10,000 for the tax franchise for a year, and then the Romans say, okay, well, you pay us £10,000, now each year you've got to pay us £5,000 back, but then you can take whatever you want from the people as long as you give us £5,000. Do you think that was an open and fair system? What the tax collectors used to do was they'd collect the money to give to the Romans, then they'd collect the money for their wages, and then they'd collect any extra money they wanted for extras. So if they fancied a nice holiday, there'd be a few extra denarii coming in the months beforehand. It was a system that was open to abuse. That's pretty bad. But what made it even worse was when this system was applied to Israel. Because if you remember Israel, they're the people that God have called. He set them apart there to live differently to other people in the world. Which means there were all sorts of rules and regulations about what they did with their money and how things were inherited. And it meant that people didn't get too rich. When the law was being followed, it was a fair society. But a lot of people had ignored that, and they'd started doing something which was forbidden in the Old Testament law, and that was lending money and then charging interest. So if you lived when the law in the Old Testament was being followed and you wanted to borrow some money to buy a house, you would go along and you would find someone and you'd say, right, I need $60,000 to buy a house. And they go, okay, here we go. And do you know how much you'd have to pay back? $60,000. If you go to the bank and say, I need $60,000 to borrow a house, they say, yeah, great, sign here. Oh, by the way, you're going to pay $90,000 back. That's the difference. And the system we have where interest is charged on loans is not what God intended at all. So, for someone to get rich in Israel at that time, they had to be charging interest on loans. So Zacchaeus was able to buy the franchise to collect taxes with what would be considered dirty money. So he really was a hated member of society. For a Jew to be a tax collector, they had to do the following. First of all, they had to be cheating their fellow Jews out of money by breaking the Old Testament law. And then they've got to agree to work with the occupying power and therefore become a traitor to the people. And then they would extract the maximum amount of money from the people as possible, so they could pay the Romans and feather their own nest. And then they also had to be able to live with themselves and sleep at night. It was a tough thing being a tax collector. But Zacchaeus had done all of this. He really was a very bad man who had enriched himself by bleeding the people dry. But clearly he wasn't able to do that fourth point I mentioned. He was unable to live with himself. Maybe he was unable to sleep at night, because while he had all the money he could get out of his society, he clearly knew that something important was missing. So when the opportunity to see Jesus comes along, he grabs it with both hands. And we see this in verse 3. Zacchaeus desperately wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't get through the crowd. You can just imagine the crowd, can't you? This man, this short man, who's public enemy number one, and he's trying to push his way through to the front. There's no way they're going to let him through. This is just one little way they can get something back from him, trying to keep him away from Jesus, keeping him at the back of the crowd. And how they must have sniggered as the hated tax collector was there, and with all his money, he couldn't get something that he wanted. But credit to Zacchaeus, he's persistent. He keeps on going. He knows that this is his one chance to see Jesus. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. He's not coming back through Jericho again. This is his one opportunity. He's passing through town. So for Zacchaeus, it's now or never. So he throws aside his dignity. He throws aside his pride. In those days, you know, real men, they didn't run. They walked gently and calmly. Zacchaeus runs. He runs ahead of the crowd. He leaves his pride. He loses his dignity. And then he climbs a tree like a schoolboy. The chief tax collector of the district on the major trade routes going through the land is there up a tree dangling his legs so everyone can see his knees. He is that desperate to see Jesus. While people were scared by him, they looked down on him, and now they had reason to look down on him. He's there, isn't he? Up that tree, dangling his legs, public enemy number one. He's destroying any reputation that he's got. Let's just think about that for a moment and just apply it and think about it. Because we've heard how bad Zacchaeus is. He's worse than we think, isn't he? He's a terrible man. Everyone knew it. Everyone's scared of him. They're looking down on him. And you can guarantee that everyone is pointing to him and saying, he's the worst sinner in town. He's the worst sinner that we know. He's broken all the rules. He's broken all the guidelines. He's made himself an enemy of the people. So it's no wonder that people cannot stand him. He's the person in Jericho that everyone looks down on as a sinner and they say, there's someone in town worse than me. And that person is Zacchaeus. Now we all have someone around that we think is worse than us. It's that dodgy family down the road who always have the police at their door. It's that naughty child at school who always has to stand out or have a detention or something like that. Do any of you know a Zacchaeus? Someone who's worse than you? Someone that you look down on? Someone whose behavior is absolutely terrible? Well, I'm sure we're all familiar with this. And what's very interesting about this is for a lot of people, providing they know a Zacchaeus, someone who's worse than them, someone who's a greater sinner than them and in more trouble with God than them, they seem to think that because there's someone worse, they're going to be okay with God. That's what people seem to think. Providing there's someone worse around, they seem to think that God's going to overlook the little things that I do wrong because this man is so bad. This person is so bad. They're so bad, they make me look good. And a lot of people seem to believe that. But just because someone else is worse than you, does that really make you good and clean and perfect? Of course not. Yet a lot of people seem to think that providing they know someone worse than them, they're going to be all right. Now, if we know anything about the Bible and we know anything about God, we realize that this is a foolish thing to think because God treats each person as an individual. Each person gets to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what anybody else has done. It's all about what you have done and you're standing there in front of Jesus. Everybody else is forgotten. It's all about what you have done. On that day, it will not matter what the Zacchaeus down the road has done or what they have not done. It's all about what you have done. Do any of us live up to God's standards? No, we don't. And if you think you do, then I suggest you spend some time talking to Christians and reading the Bible and find out what God's standards really are. None of us live up to God's standards, which means that all of us have got to get ourselves sorted out as soon as possible while we have the opportunity, because we don't know if Jesus is going to pass by again. Zacchaeus, for all of his badness and all of his evil and all of his sin, he recognized this. He knew that he had to use this one opportunity to get himself sorted out. And he was willing to lose his dignity and his pride so that he could be cleaned up. Have you ever felt this way about your badness, your sins, that you would do anything to get yourself cleaned up and have the slate wiped clean? If you've never done that, if you've never felt that way, then you are in a lot of trouble. Because while you may be a good and upright, honest citizen in the eye of your country, in God's eyes, each and every person is worse than we think Zacchaeus is. Because God's standards are so different to our standards, and no one ever lives up to them. All of us are guilty. We cannot pay back the wrong that we have done. All we can do is apologize for our mistakes, ask for forgiveness, and commit ourselves to never doing those bad things again. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus is intending to do. You can imagine him there, up the tree, as Jesus approaches, and how his heart would have been beating faster with excitement. And then his heart must have leaped for joy when Jesus stopped, looked up at him, and called him by name. You see, Jesus knows the name of every person that he's coming to save. He came to this earth to make sure that forgiveness is available for all who turn to him, who trust him, and who want to turn away from their life of wrongdoing. Jesus came into this world to seek and save the lost. Even for people who are up to their neck in wrongdoing, like Zacchaeus. So when Jesus sees Zacchaeus, he invites himself over for dinner, where no doubt there's a very interesting conversation, while all those local people who consider themselves better than Zacchaeus, they're outside and they're grumbling and mumbling and saying, look, he's going in to see a sinner. And they're not realizing that they are just as bad as Zacchaeus. They don't realize it. They're filled with self-righteousness. What's the end result of all this? Genuine repentance and salvation. When people really admit that they have done wrong, there will be a complete change in their life. Suddenly they will hate their old sinful ways, and they will not be happy until they get as far away as possible from that old way of living. While at the same time there will be a desire to right any past wrongs, which is what we see in Zacchaeus. Not only will he pay back anyone he has robbed four times, and according to the law he only had to pay it back double, he would also give half his possessions to the poor, which means the big fancy house is going for a more modest dwelling. That brand new car becomes a very ordinary car. And each week when he goes shopping there'll be two trolleys, one for him and one for the food bank. That's the sort of lifestyle change that we see in Zacchaeus. He becomes a totally transformed character. He would go from being one of the worst people in his society to being one of the best. All because he turned to Jesus and asked for forgiveness and he wanted to change his ways. Jesus came to this world to turn lives around like Zacchaeus. He came to save people who realize that they need help. Now, if there was ever a person who did not deserve to be saved, then it was Zacchaeus. So if someone as bad as him can find forgiveness, then there is hope for every other Zacchaeus out there. The sooner you look to Jesus, the happier you will be. Right now, Zacchaeus is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ because he turned away from his wrongdoing, trusted in him, and asked for forgiveness. We can be confident of this because of how Zacchaeus' story ended. It's not about where we begin. It's about where our story ends. How is your story going to end? Are you someone who's already turned to Jesus and you're living for him? Well, then you can rejoice and be glad because your story ends by going to the Lord Jesus Christ and being with him forever. Are you someone who is looking for Jesus? If so, then rest assured, it's still possible to find forgiveness today. Or are you someone who thinks that you're perfect and you look down on other people, just like the crowds look down on Zacchaeus? Well, those folk ended up paying the consequences of their arrogance. This morning, learn from Zacchaeus. No matter how bad or difficult the start of your story has been, make sure that the end is glorious as one of those people who Jesus came to seek and save as you turn to him. Amen.